My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach, and we are in our week three of Teach Us to Pray. And so what I want to do this morning is talk specifically about verse 11, but I want to get to that through talking about what we've already talked about over the last 2 weeks, and I want to pray before I do that. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that Lord, you knew that we need help with things, even our prayer life. Lord, and your disciples wanted an assist and to learn from the one who knows best, and they ask you. And Lord, we just thank you that you've given us this prayer to be a model for how we connect to the Father, how we relate to you, and what we say in our prayers. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you've given us opportunity not only to learn about what you're doing in and around us, but, Lord, to just have a way to connect. So, Lord, I just pray this morning that you would speak, that you would use all of our senses just to experience you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, actually, I lied. This is week four. Forgot about week one. So over the last 2 weeks, we've covered the first two verses in the prayer, which I'm going to read all together. It'll be on your screen. It says in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, it says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And so the first 2 weeks we talked about this idea that, you know, really if we're going to pray, we have to know who we're praying to, and knowing that, you know, aligning our prayer as talking to our Father really puts us in a position that we're connecting with someone that wants to listen to us. And our Father in heaven, hallowed be that name, that we get to worship a God that is worthy of our worship. Hey, birthday girl. Were you hiding outside until you wait until I started so I wouldn't say happy birthday? Happy birthday, Jordan. We're not going to sing, but can't resist. Sorry. Sorry, I'll edit that out so everybody online will be like, he just stopped in the middle of his sentence. Okay. The first week we talked about, you know, that we get to talk to not only God, but we get to talk to him as our Father really intimately, and Jesus started there, and we get to praise his name and really lift it up for what it means. And there is on the little note sheet on the back, we do print it out like just kind of a prayer assist guide for you, and it lists some of the names of God. And then last week we talked about this idea of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we start our prayer correctly. So most of our prayer life is like me. Like we get right to it, and what we really want is not worshiping God, is not saying, "Hey, your kingdom come, your will be done." It's, "Hey, God, I have a need, and can you please meet that?" And so really the first two are really establishing and putting you into a position that you're correctly doing the next three. And so this week, next week, and the week after are going to talk about things necessary for our survival, really. From today, talking about give us our daily bread. Next week, talking about getting forgiveness or receiving forgiveness from the Father. And then 13, this protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so today, we're specifically going to talk about give us this day our daily bread. And I've broken that into two categories, and we're going to talk about those. The first one is give us this day. And so here's something that I read all these commentaries, and I think sometimes I get polluted by, like, I read, you know, it's like an overconsumption of people's ideas about what they're talking about, and they're all over the place. So, like, there's so many people that argue about that, you know, what does bread mean, and is it, because in one translation it's for give us this day, our day to day, whether it was specifically today or if it's today and tomorrow, which was another one, but we're going to keep it really simple. And one thing that was across the board is us getting in a position that we're relying on God for everything. I mean, you may not know this, and if you don't serve or love God, then you may be in a position of thinking that you, through your awesomeness, have you know, worked hard and supplied money, and you bring home the bacon. Really, everything that we have, even our ability to do the job that we have already, was given to us by God, granted to us as a gift. And so part of starting in that position of understanding that God is our source is to trust God that He is our source today. And I think one great example of that is the manna from heaven. Okay, so in Exodus, they had been released from Egypt. They were on their own, and they got stuck in this place called the desert for 40 years, walking around and around. And in the desert, just like its name, it's not known for growing lots of crops or having lots of water. And so God, day after day, provided for their needs. I mean, every day. So literally, they got into the desert, and God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, hey, in the morning, as the dew goes away, there's going to be this stuff called manna. It's going to just appear. It's like little flakes, and you're going to scoop it up, and it's going to make this great bread that tastes like it has honey in it. But the thing that you need to know is that you only get enough for today. Because if you keep it past the day, it's going to attract worms and it's going to rot and smell really bad. And so their people are hard-headed that escaped from Egypt. And we know this because they spent 40 years in the desert where they were about a day and a half or 2 days' journey from the promised land. And so they just kind of stayed in this position. And so in that, you know, God provided for every bit of their needs. Like their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. They didn't get blisters. Like God took care of them. And so every day for 40 years, God provided. Every day. I mean, I really truly believe that a lot of what happened in the desert was for them to understand that God will provide. And of course, when they first heard about this, you know, they weren't sure. I mean, you're in the desert, you don't have your crops, you know, you only have so many animals, so you can't just go kill, you know, let's have the fatted calf. You know, so you only could take what you had to, what you could use. And so some people, they were like, let's get a little bit more. And so the next day they would have like a stink. I said, you know, that's one good way to figure out how much your faith or much faith you have in God is that what you smell like the second day. And so literally for 40 years, every day God would provide. And on their Sabbath, God would provide enough and allow them to take enough for those 2 days. And during that, you know, they started to complain about eating manna every day, even though God was providing it, and so God sent them quail. I mean, millions, there's hundreds of thousands, I think close to 1 million people out in the desert, and they wanted meat, and God supplied the meat. I mean, like literally, I want to see, I think this would be a great kind of reel by reel to see, like, did the doves know they were going to their death? I mean, was it like just drawn, like their internal magnet just got messed up and they went to this one place and just kind of rested around all these people that are looking at them like, you know, or did they just like, maybe they came in the morning, they saw the manna, they ate too much and they couldn't go anywhere, and then they were, you know, free for people to grab. Like, I just imagine millions of birds just laying there like, eat me. And that's what they did. And so like every day they got the reality. And I think this is what God's trying to do in this prayer is that it is God that meets our needs. Everything that you have or need, God will meet your need. I think Martin Luther actually wrote bread was the symbol for everything necessary for the preservation of this life. So it's not like you get up and be like, God, give me bread today. Like, and God's going to like knock on your door. The Holy Ghost is going to knock on your door. And you're going to open it and they'll be like, bread. Thanks, God, for the bread today. I mean, literally, we're praying and acknowledging that God will provide this day for us. And see, the great thing about this is that this prayer comes from a humble place. Like, we've already acknowledged that God is, you know, His name is holy. and that He is our Father. And we've already acknowledged that we want His will to be done. We want His kingdom to come. And now, after that, we're just saying, hey, God, could you provide for us today? Could you make provision for us today? And shortly after this, in the same chapter of Matthew 6, Jesus has to teach them about worry and anxiety. So He just said, hey, this is how you're going to connect to the Father, and your first thing that you're going to ask for and have faith that He's going to do is that He's going to provide for you. And then a little bit later, He tells them, don't be anxious about what you wear or what you're going to eat. And He tells them that, you know, the lilies of the field are dressed better than the courts of Solomon. And, you know, the birds, they don't toil or store up, but God provides for them. And He tells them not to worry. And actually in Matthew 6:34, it says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. See, most of our issue in life, most of our worry, most of our fear is about what will be tomorrow, not today. You ever notice that? I mean, sometimes we have today fears because there's something that has finally happened and it is today. But most of the things that we lose sleep over, most of the things that we worry about, most of the things that we fight about with our family and friends are things that might happen in the future. Where God's saying, hey, I want you to focus just on today. And that's Matthew 6:34. Romans 8:31, it says, what then, and I do like Romans 8 now, what then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, it says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? See, the part of us coming humbly to asking God for things is it eliminates some of the dumb things that we'd ask. I mean, literally in Scripture it says, you know, you're not getting what you're asking for because you ask for it with selfish motives. That you ask for it so that you can greedily have something. Like, God, just, you know, bless me with this promotion so that I've been wanting a boat. I've been wanting, you know, fill in your blank. Not that boats are bad. They're just expensive. Anyway, my brain just starts, and I just need to pull it back in. So give us this day, that when we focus just on today, we get to enjoy today and not worry about tomorrow, but we ask God, give us today what we need. And the faith part is realizing that what we get in that day is enough. So much of our joy is robbed by wishing that we had more of something that we don't even really need. So our daily bread, John 6:34. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. The cool thing about today, we're actually going to end our service today with communion. I mean, we get to realize that God has provided for us. Proverbs 30, verse 8, and I don't know, I'm sure I've read this, because in my yearly plan, we're reading through Proverbs like two or three times in the year, but I don't remember this until I found it somewhere else. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9, it says, remove far from me falsehood and lying. And this is it. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Another translation, it says, feed me with my portion. Nothing more, nothing less, my portion. Least, in verse 9, least I be full and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or at least I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. See, I think sometimes when we learn to trust God with what He gives us, and understand that God is good in what He has given us today. And that is what we need, that we lose sight of what God's actually trying to do in us. We get so focused on what we want tomorrow that we miss out on enjoying God today. God actually warned Joshua. Joshua is the guy who took over from Moses. Moses did what God had commanded him to do. He had helped them escape from Egypt. He kept God from destroying the people. I mean, several times, he's like, God was ready. Like, we can start over. Like, no big deal. And, you know, literally Moses would plead with God, like, don't do this. You know, what happens if Egypt hears that all your people died in the desert? They'll think you aren't the God that you are. And he begs them to nod. And he kept them right until the end. He passes away. He hands over his mantle to Joshua. And Joshua carries his people into the promised land. And this is a warning that God gives Joshua towards his people. In Deuteronomy 8:11. And I'm going to read about eight verses. It says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his rules and statutes, which I have commanded you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and its scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rocks, which is another thing that God did. Actually, Moses didn't get the promised land because he didn't obey God fully, which is a whole other story. God told him to strike the rock or to speak to the rock and water would come out of it because the people were thirsty. He got angry and he hit that rock. There's a sermon right there. You better not hit that rock. It's just, anyway. He hit the rock. I mean, really, literally, he hit the rock. Water came out. Everybody else is like, Moses, you're the man. God is good. And God was like, Moses, you ain't going to the promised land. Don't hit that rock. That's for somebody. I don't know. In verse 16, it says, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble and test you to do you good in the end. Verse 17, it says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he has sworn to his fathers as it is this day. I mean, so literally, they've been circling the desert. God finally opens up the promised land, and God warns Joshua. Like, it has to be in them. They have to know that day by day, God sustained them, because our tendency as a church, as a people who desire to follow God, is to forget that God is God. We forget that God is the one that literally right now is allowing us to exist, allowing us to take a breath, allowing us to enjoy His world, His creation. And we so easily and greedily want to say it is ours. And I mean, I'm not saying that you guys don't work hard for what you have, but honestly, the enjoyment of what God gives us is us allowing God to be who God is. See, we want to rob it. I mean, they were there. And God knew that when they got there and their houses were built and their vineyards were, you know, ripe for harvest and their animals were thriving, that they would go, we did it. See, I think one of the most important things in this prayer is this: give us today our daily bread. I mean, really, today God is providing what you need to serve Him, to worship Him, to enjoy Him. And we rob that from Him all the time. Let us remember today that He is our source of life and provision. I mean, literally, our hope isn't necessarily, I'm not going to pick on you, Emily, but our hope isn't that Emily is going to be the best teacher that these kids are ever, which you are, I'm sure, because I've heard from several sources, best teacher at Snipes Academy, that she's going to be the best teacher out there. Our hope is she's asking, hey, guys, pray, because she understands that it is not her goodness or her effort as a teacher. It is really, if God doesn't show up, some of the kids in her classroom will never experience life and joy. And see, we get to partner with doing something with kids that will never, probably, you may get a name, you may pray for them, but you may never meet them. See, the great thing is God is allowing us to connect, not because He can use our strength and ability to make these kids great, but He can make these kids great. That we have access, and that's in every area, like in your workplace or in your neighborhood. It is not you that is going to make the name of God be lifted high. It's God, but it's our willingness to trust and believe in Him for everything. See, next week we get to talk about forgiveness, and we get to look at what God's done for us. And I love that even before we get for forgiveness, God's very interested in what's going on with you today. Like, He's not just interested in your soul, He's interested in your well-being. Before we even talk about forgiveness, which we'll talk about next week, God was like, hey, let's work on what you need, because He cares about that. He's interested in what is necessary for you today. And so I have a few questions that I want to just give us food for thought, and then we're going to go into, and I'm going to explain communion, we're going to do communion, go into our last worship song, and just ask God for provision today. Because if you're hurting, if you're in pain, if there's things that are going on, God is interested in those things today. Not necessarily even the healing of them down the road, but like, God wants to provide what you need for today. So the first one, question, is, what have you elevated more important than what God wants to give you today? What are you worshiping out in your work? Maybe it's more money. Maybe it's a car. What? Hopefully it's not a car. Like, that'd be fun. You get home and, like, you set candles around your car. Just, like, get on your knees. That's one way to get your neighbors thinking you're really weird. But, like, what is stealing from you your enjoyment of today? What is that thing that you don't have that makes you discount the truth and joy of who God really is? And if you can identify it, give that to God and go, God, I trust you with this. I may not even need this. Like, just like what we read in that Proverbs 30, you know, give me neither poverty or riches. Some of the things that we get, if we get them, it's going to be more dangerous to us than us not having them. But literally, what is robbing you of just going, God, you're providing? Like, I don't think there's any, let me know if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's anybody in this room that is worried about today not having food to eat. So right there, God is providing for you. It's just acknowledging that God is providing. Like, when you go to wherever you go, KFC, Jersey Mike's, Noah likes Jersey Mike's, wants it every Sunday. Like, we never go. And then if we don't go there one week, it's like, we never go. But none of us are going to struggle with finding something to eat today. right there. Like, God just wants us to acknowledge his goodness for providing. If you've got food in your pantry, God has provided that food. You just work it around. See, the danger is we'll go, no, no. I work hard for the money. My wife went to that grocery store, couponed, whatever, and those are our groceries. Everything that you have is a gift from God, and they work to having that food in the pantry. They work to having money in your bank so that you can go to Jersey Mike's or KFC or Bojangles. But don't get too close to the merging diamond because you might get stuck in the vortex that it is. So what is keeping you from enjoying today? And what are you going to do to remove that? Because literally, God has given us everything that we need to enjoy him right now. Like, there are distractions for our worship. But those same distractions can be removed very easily by us aligning Jesus into the position that he should be in. And there's not, other than internally in us, there's not much that we need to change to make that so. And so what I want to do is we're going to go into communion. If you've never taken communion with us, we have a table set up in the back corner. And basically how we do communion is we're going to, after we pray, you can get in line. And it's by intinction, which is just a big word that means you're going to pick up a piece of bread. And you're going to dip it. Intinction. You should use that in your vocabulary this week. I wouldn't, because that's weird, then you got to explain it. But so you just go back there, and you can, as a family unit, kind of get your bread and juice and experience communion together, or, you know, you can do it individually. You can come back to your seat. But that'll be going on as worship will begin. And I just encourage, like, thank God. I mean, literally what we're doing with communion, and the reason why we celebrate communion is a reminder that you have not done this for yourself, but God has done what you couldn't do. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, this isn't going to be on your screen. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" We're proclaiming the Lord's death, not because we're glorifying his death, but we're glorifying what that death accomplished for us. Like, we communion for believers is a reminder that it has nothing to do with you. You could not save yourself, so God sent his son to do what you couldn't do for you. And so I just encourage you, actually, continuing on in 1 Corinthians 11, and it says, be cautious. Like, don't just go to it and like, oh, bread and juice. I mean, literally, begin now to thank God for what he's done. If there's things that's going on with your life and there's sin in your life, settle that. So I just encourage you, as we go back into worship, as we experience communion together, to allow God to remind you what we so easily forget, that God has provided for us. But God wants us to enjoy him so that we can serve this community. God wants us to enjoy him and realize that everything that we have is a gift. So that the neighbors that we talk to, the people that we have, it says, have a hope in you for why you're resting and trusting in Jesus. And so I'm going to pray. The communion table will be open immediately. If you want to sit and just reflect for a minute or two, that's fine. There is no rush to go back there. Being in the front of the line or the back of the line, all the same. Dearly Father, we just thank you that today, Lord, we We miss so many things. We miss opportunities to praise you. We miss opportunities to acknowledge your goodness. We miss opportunities just to thank you for everything that you have provided for us. And I just pray that the duration, the rest of this time that we have together as we take communion, as we worship, and as we pray, that that would be on our heart. Lord, that we could reflect that you're good, that you are a good Father, that, Lord, your kingdom coming is a great thing. Lord, your will is always better than our will. And Lord, we thank you that in spite of everything, Lord, you make provision for us so that we can be a blessing to those around us. So Lord, let us acknowledge your goodness. Lord, as we go home today, as we have lunch, Lord, I pray that that prayer before lunch wouldn't just be like, I thank you, Lord, but literally acknowledging it as a gift from you. Lord, I thank you as we enter our homes, Lord, we would just praise you that, Lord, you've given us a place to live, a place to lay our head, Lord, that we praise you as we get in our cars and we leave here, that you've provided for a way that we can get around and do the things that are necessary. Lord, there's so many things that we can be grateful for. And Lord, I just pray that you would open up our eyes, that you would open up our hearts to truly worship you. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you've set a reminder in place through communion so that we could worship your sacrifice. And Lord, that we can experience your love for us over and over again as we remember what you did on our behalf. So Lord, let us honor you in communion. Let us honor you today. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to us this week, that you would give us just a desire to love those around us, a desire to wake up in the morning and just experience you, Lord. I thank you for opening up your word for us. Lord, I pray that we would be people that are diligent at reading your word so that we can experience you. So, Lord, thank you for your goodness and your glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.